Welcome to the Lucky Titan Podcast. Here you will learn how to fill your favorite platform with tons of your dream customers from some of the world's top entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Josh Tapp. Now let's get started. What is up, everybody? Josh Tapp here again, and welcome back to the Lucky Titan. And today we're here with Danny Stanzis, and this guy is the founder of getbusinesslit.com. And this guy has really been doing some amazing things, really in the offer creation space and in helping service providers and tech companies to really kind of get their messages and their offers on point. So I'm excited to have Danny here. So Danny, can you say what's up to everybody, and then we'll hop in.
What's up? What's up? Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yes, we're going to love it. So you literally just gave Dean Graziosi's intro right there. What's up? What's up? He says all that.
You're right. You're right. That is something he always says. I'm self-conscious. Yeah.
Just quote him twice and it's yours. I was laughing about that because you're the first person who ever done that on our show. And I do it all the time on accident because I listen to so much of Dean's stuff.
Yes, I love him. He's awesome. He's so good. Okay.
Well, so Danny, I kind of want to hop into this today, really just diving into your origin story as far as offers and how you got into offers, because I have to preface this by saying, you know, we've worked with so many different entrepreneurs, interviewed tons of different entrepreneurs, but really, there's really kind of these core three things that everybody has to have in order to have a winning business. And that's, you got to know your customer, you got to know your mission, your values, and you've got to have a great offer. If you don't have a great offer, yes, nothing else matters. And so 100%. I want to see kind of your story behind how you guys got to that and then your exact strategy. So take it away, man.
Totally. Yeah, I'd love to. So how I kind of stumbled across even wanting to focus on that AHO offer area was back in my corporate job. We were about 95 employees. I was the marketing manager. And we were having a hard quarter doing high ticket software sales and consulting back then. And back then I was learning a lot of new strategies, like the whole digital marketing game, and learning a lot from the OGs like Jay Abraham and Russell Brunson, all these great guys. And I wanted to start just to apply more and more of these things, and was waiting for the right moment. And we had this bad quarter. And I went to the CEOs and said, "Hey guys, listen, I have an idea. Is it okay if I just try this out?" And it was a frustrating time back then. And they were like, "Sure, just do whatever, like go do, if it works, perfect. If it doesn't, it can't get much worse than it is right now." So that was an interesting situation to do this. So what happened was that, as I said, we were in high ticket sales. And if you're ever been in high ticket sales, those processes just take a lot longer. Like B2B high ticket is not like you get a lead and you get a sale the next day. It goes over weeks and sometimes even months. And we just had, as I said, a few weeks or even months where it just was low. We were not getting any closes. We had leads, but they were just not saying yes yet. And I got together my team and I'm like, "Hey, we're going to do something new. We'd never done this before." And we worked on creating an irresistible offer, something we have never done before, something that was scalable, that was high value, that was merely just like an online product to our customer base and also our leads, that solved a big problem. And we put together the offer. We use all the hacks and strategies of announcing it, teasing it, and launching it at a date and having a closed date and doing all the different things. And we had bets going on in our company. They were hearing about what we were planning on doing. And I had one of my colleagues, he was betting with me. We actually had a bet. And he was like, "We're never going to have more than 100 people take this offer." I was like, "Dude, we're on." So we had this bet going. And we launched it. And also something new we had, by the way, because high ticket sales is not something you usually, you have like six figures or seven, yeah, usually around six figures or high five figure ticket stuff. You just don't do like an order page online. It's, you have contracts and signatures and stuff. So it was one of our first offers where we had a typical like online order page. You just order there and got an invoice. So a lot of new stuff going on, but we did it and it just went crazy. And after 2 or 3 days, we passed 100 sales. And it was a high ticket, low ticket, however you want to see it, was around 2 or 3K product. So that was like my first experience getting into trying out a different structure of offer. It was the first time I saw the power of creating an offer, positioning it the right way, and having a like also like a launch strategy around the offer, where you have a launch date, a close date, urgency, scarcity, where you have different value elements in there, all these different things that you should have in a very good offer. And I was like, wow, this works. Like, this is awesome. And we did it again a few months later with a different offer, but the same like hacks and strategies. And that was one of the main things where like, okay, I love this. This is awesome. And so many businesses are not doing it correctly. So that's kind of what got me started, is having this amazing experience back in my corporate job. And that's kind of what got me rolling in that area. Yeah.
See, and that's such a fun story, because I mean, we all see these offers and we try to launch offer after offer after offer, but you mentioned a couple of things. You just kind of mentioned it, but it was about how you promoted the offer, right? You teased it,
right,
and you promoted like crazy. Like, those are the sort of things that we don't feel like are the easy parts, but in our reality, as you've seen, that's kind of what makes an offer so successful, is that hype. So
yeah,
when it comes to, you know, that sort of offer, I just want to ask you kind of specifics about that deal. And I know obviously it was a company you worked for, but with that deal, was it a SaaS company, or was it some sort of service that they were offering for that 2 to 3,000?
Yeah. So we were a SaaS company or a software company, but the offer we were creating was actually not a software solution. So it was kind of something that we put on top of that, where it was a solution, more like a training solution, was more educational solution, templates to implement different stuff. So it was not like the typical software product. We were like a core product. It was actually something else we kind of put on top that was very scalable. But it was just a great solution for our audience. So yeah, it was more like training, template, more like that area. Yeah.
Interesting. So I want people who are listening to this, who are saying, okay, I'm in a SaaS company, or maybe you're not even in a services business in general, but how could you add something like we just talked about onto your company so that you've got, you know, another offer that could really be very high yield and something that you could sell in the way that Daniel just mentioned. So
100%. And that is so important. What you just said is that even if your core product is not maybe as scalable, like a service, always think of ways to add another offer that of course makes sense in some kind of way for that audience, but something that is scalable. That is so, so important, right?
Love that. Well, and let me ask you this, Danny, because you know, you came from the corporate world, and in 15 months, you've already built a super successful company, and you've done that really by translating those skills. And I found that with a lot of the people that I've talked to, a lot of them come from a marketing background. And it's awesome because you get to play with somebody else's budget when you're running
right,
a marketing company, right? And then when you actually figure it out, you can step out and you can crush it because you know exactly what works. So right, Walk us through a little bit of like kind of your deepest, darkest moment in the past 15 months, where you got stuck and how you were able to overcome that here in this new company.
Yeah. So I'll give you two. So the first darkest moment was I knew all the strategies and what to do, but I really struggled acting on it because I was not there yet knowing exactly how I wanted to serve my clients, because I had so many ideas, and I think a lot of people can relate. You have so many opportunities, ideas, and possibilities, and things maybe to choose from. And I just was not 100% yet what I wanted to focus on. Did I only want to do like coaching? Should I also do fulfillment and services or both? And so I was dabbling around a lot for a few months, doing a lot of different things, just because I was not 100% focused on exactly how I wanted to serve my client. And after I had that figured out, that's when I was able to really nail that down, focus on that, and scale that. And so that was the first first weeks or even months of uncertainty, not knowing exactly how to serve and what to focus on. And then scale on. But that was something I expected and was totally okay. So it wasn't like a surprise to me. So it was, I knew that that was going to happen. So it wasn't that dark moment. Now to the actual dark moment, if you want, was we talked before already. And so you know this. So I did a summit this year, and it was an amazing summit. A lot of fun. I had everything, the idea, everything was ready. I knew exactly what was going to happen. I knew the numbers, how everything was supposed to happen. But a lot of surprises and a lot of learnings I had there. So when you have a summit, of course, you have your speakers, and I had amazing speakers and amazing people on. And this is not any like to blame anybody or anything. I learned a lot, and it's always good to learn a lot, right? So, but we had different like things agreed on and different things I thought was going to happen that, because of course I had the speakers like go through like the promotion we're going to be doing and the templates they're going to be getting and everything. So this is promotion week. So 1 week before launch, and I have my trackers installed and seeing how all the traffic is going to come in and which speaker is going to be sending more traffic. And I log in the morning and zero, like, okay, maybe they're just maybe a few hours late. I'll just wait a bit. Like, I log back in the afternoon, I refresh and still zero. I like, okay, maybe I screwed up the tracking. What's going on? I'm like, I don't get it. And I'm on a lot of these people's email lists. So I should be getting their emails and I should seeing the social media posts and everything. Anyway, so long story short, hardly anybody promoted as expected. Although it was kind of an agreement where they were like checking, yes, that's something I'm going to do. And to be fair and honest, two or three speakers said in advance that they were not able to promote in that way. So it was all clear. I knew that they were going to promote in a different way or a small way. So that was okay. All the others did not like give any feedback on that at all. So I was like, okay, we're cool. That's what they're going to do. I sent them the templates. I sent them the reminders and everything, but nothing happened. And now speaking to more and more people that had more summits on the back and are in the game a bit longer than me in that field, I learned that there has to be a good reason for them to promote. Okay. So that was one of my big learnings where I realized, okay, an agreement is not always an agreement, because back in my corporate job, as I said, working with high ticket clients, like we even wrote emails back and forth with six-figure deals and stuff. And there was like no way that, yeah, it never dawned on me that I couldn't rely on those different things. But hey, that's things I learned. And working 2 months, building all that pressure, building all that anticipation for the summit, and then seeing that it did not turn out the way I thought, that was pretty disappointing, to be honest. But I learned so much out of it, and I'm still able to use the con in great ways. So it's all going to turn out good. But that was one of the dark moments, realizing that all that work is not going to turn out the way I had intended in the original way, but I'll make it work in a different way. So that was an interesting educational launch I had there.
I think everybody who runs a summit has to do that at least once, because we've run multiple of them. And the first one was that same way. We had 30 guests and 4 promoted, and they basically like posted on social media. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how would you like not promote this? But then a couple of things. I love that. And I want to ask you this question too. But one of the lessons we learned from that was you have to treat them like they're 2 years old and explaining how to promote. You give it to them, or in some cases you do it for them. Like you log into their Facebook and you do the post. And
I should have done that, right?
Yeah. Or they give you the email list, or you go in and promote. Like there's a lot that goes into the promotion.
Yes.
So I want to ask you this though, because you mentioned you have to give them a reason to promote. What is the reason? What do you think was the big learning lesson taken away from there?
So I thought I had a reason, to be honest, because this summit, it was a free summit, but inside we had a really cool offer. So all the speakers did put in amazing like value on the interviews and also gave amazing like added on materials of trainings or different stuff that we had on offer that could be purchased, but all that would support an amazing organization called Operation Underground Railroad, which helps children that have been sex trafficked, and then they help them. So it's an amazing organization. And that's why I also got amazing speakers, because they're like, oh, cool cause, we'll do that. And I'm on board. And so I thought they're also going to promote it. But in the end, of course, promoting it and having more people join the summit and add to that great cause is not really benefiting them directly. So what do I mean? Well, in the end, they want a split of the share. So they want, if I have revenue, they want a split of that. They want 40, 50, 60% of that. So my learning is, and everybody out there doing this, maybe in the future, I would not do, even though I'd love to, but I would not do a 100% revenue to the organization. Because if you run the numbers and I only do like a 10% revenue to the organization, but the speakers get a split of the revenue, I'm going to have much more traffic coming into the summit. And that's going to end up being more revenue for the organization, even though it's only 10%, than then getting 100% out of nothing, more or less, if you know what I mean. So meaning they need to get something out of it. They want to have either leads or the list, or they want, of course, a split of the revenue. Or that's another, like, something I learned. You find B, C level influencers that like the idea of promoting the summit because their value, their status increases. Okay, so that's also very key, knowing how your summit is actually increasing the status of the speakers. And if it is not, you have to give them another reason to promote, which I just talked about. But if you go to C-level influencers, they will want to promote because their status increases. And there's different ways how to connect those two, et cetera. But that's something I learned out of running the summit. So, yeah.
I love that. Well, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because we've worked with a few nonprofits recently and they run into that problem a lot, you know, is how do you get people to promote you when it's just, you know, nobody gets any money out of the deal because they're like, oh, I do want to help, but you've got to keep their emotion high for your nonprofit through the entire process. Otherwise they don't actually promote it.
Right.
So it's really intriguing that you bring that up. And I love that. It's a great lesson learned. I hope everybody listens to that and says, okay, if you're running a summit or any sort of offer, what is the percentage that you're giving? And I mean, I know, Danny, you were way more than willing to even give them, like the speakers, most of the profits, if not all of the profits, because you weren't trying to make money off of that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And you just want to make sure that it was providing revenue for this company. But I think it's so fun to see that you could just make that one little tweak and how much more money would come in.
Oh, pretty awesome. Major tweak or major difference than it would have been in the traffic and just the amount of attendees. Totally.
Yeah, love that. Well, let me ask you this. You know, we're coming up to the end of the interview here, Danny, but I want to ask you a little bit about getbusinesslit.com, what you're doing over there, and how you guys have been helping people with their offers.
Yeah, of course. I'd love to. So as you mentioned, the main thing we focus on is the offers. So I know there's a lot of different things you can focus on helping businesses traffic and launches and different things. But one of the main things I love focusing on is helping businesses with their offer, because usually you can increase revenue without increasing costs at all. So that's the main thing that we focus on. So of course, we also look on how to launch and market the offer. But the first step is always to look at the offer, is how it's packaged, how it's positioned, Is it high value, low risk, all these different things that we work on inside of our framework that we created. So that's the main thing that we help with is the side of optimizing and launching the business offer. And of course, there's a lot of businesses that have several offers, like Valley Ladder or whatever you want to call it. But of course, we always start with the core offer, the main one, and then we kind of work on the others if needed. But yeah, so that's the main thing we do. It's been fun. It's been a great time helping businesses with that. So that's our main business model. Yeah.
Love that. That is brilliant. Well, Danny, I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing everything. Honestly, you've shared some amazing stories, first off, about offer creation, but also some really good tidbits. I hope people will take those little nuggets and apply them directly into their offer strategy and into their launch strategy. So Danny, just to kind of wrap this up for us, could you give us one final parting piece of guidance for an entrepreneur?
Yes, I'd love to. So even though the offer has to be great, the main piece that has to be on point is the entrepreneur themselves, because people invest in other people or buy from other people. So no matter how good your offer is or your graphics is, you as an entrepreneur just need to be able to show up as a winner and invest in yourself and become the best version of yourself. So that's something I can't stress enough.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Lucky Titan Podcast. If you want to fill your favorite platform with dream customers, then come join myself and thousands of others of hosts at theluckytitan.com/tribe. Here you can find guests for your show, get featured on other shows, and discover the secrets to building an audience of raving fans. So once again, go create your free account at theluckytitan.com/tribe.